I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. One of the largest groups of refugees coming into the United States now are ethnic Nepalese. Many of them have been living in refugee camps in Nepal for years, but they don't think of themselves as citizens of Nepal. Instead, they consider themselves citizens of neighboring Bhutan. The Bhutanese government disagrees. It's rejected them. Bhutan says in a country of only 700,000 people, the right to limit who lives there is a matter of cultural survival. The World's Mary Kay Magstead has the story.
This dusty, hot refugee camp in eastern Nepal has been home to ethnic Nepalese for 20 years. The people living here share a language and culture with the citizens of Nepal, but they say they're not Nepalese.
Okay, I was a Bhutanese, and I'm still a Bhutanese. Still, the government of Bhutan doesn't accept me as a Bhutanese.
Lila Kaikel, who's 36, says his father and grandfather were born in Bhutan. He was a teenager when ethnic Nepalese in southern Bhutan started to agitate for more political rights. Demonstrations got violent, and the Bhutanese government cracked down, searching house to house for those involved.
They could get into your house at any point of time.
Did they go into your family's house?
Yes, suddenly. Like, my brother was taken to prison for 9 months. He was subjected to a lot of physical tortures and things like that.
Kaikel says when his brother got out of prison, his family joined an exodus to Nepal. Stéphane Jacquemet is the representative in Nepal's capital, Kathmandu, for the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. He says these were ethnic Nepalese who had been in Bhutan for generations and considered themselves Bhutanese.
But in 1985, Bhutan adopted a new citizenship act, which was very regressive and which was basically directed at depriving people who were not ethnically Bhutanese from citizenship.
Not exactly, say Bhutanese officials. They say most of those who left never had Bhutanese citizenship. They say they'd come across Bhutan's porous borders as recently as the 1960s and 70s, drawn by Bhutan's free education and health care and fertile farmland in the south. Bhutanese officials complain that they made little effort to integrate or learn Bhutan's national language.
It's very important as a small country to keep our identity, an identity in terms of setting us apart from other countries, so that the rest of the world knows about Bhutan as a separate country.
Tsering Tabge is Bhutan's opposition leader.
During the 1980s, the government undertook a serious census, and at that time discovered that many of the so-called sudden Bhutanese, people who were living in Bhutan, they were not citizens of Bhutan.
That census showed that the proportion of ethnic Nepalese in Bhutan's total population had gone from almost none to almost half in the space of 8 decades. The government became alarmed. It decreed that ethnic Nepalese had to speak Bhutanese and wear traditional Bhutanese dress. It shut down Nepalese language media. And it said those who had citizenship could lose it if they spoke out against Bhutan's king, culture, or people. Ethnic Nepalese pushed back. One of them was Balaram Pojal. I caught up with him in a cafe in Kathmandu. He showed me his Bhutanese citizenship papers and told me he used to be a local official in southern Bhutan, where there are a lot of ethnic Nepalese.
When the government district officer came to our village,
he says when a Bhutanese official came to the village for a meeting, he was told to wear Bhutanese dress. He decided to wear Nepalese dress instead. He says the government saw that as one of his mistakes. A bigger mistake from the Bhutanese government's point of view was that Pojal was a founding member of the Bhutan People's Party. Pojal says the party pushed for more rights for ethnic Nepalese, for democracy and constitutional monarchy.
The goal is a multi-party democracy and constitutional monarchy.
But Bhutanese officials suspected the party's real goal was an ethnic Nepalese takeover. The party did organize demonstrations that turned violent in 1990. Protesters burned census data, attacked officials, and damaged buildings. Bhutanese troops arrested hundreds, and the ensuing crackdown lasted years. An Amnesty International team later reported cases of torture and poor conditions in prisons, but it also reported horrific acts by ethnic Nepalese activist groups, including beheadings of government officials and threats and violence against ethnic Nepalese who tried to integrate. It was in this environment that the ethnic Nepalese exodus began. Some left because Bhutan's government told them to go, some because activists pressured them to leave. Back in the camp in eastern Nepal, 24-year-old Maya Monger says her family wasn't pressured. It was one of many that just joined the crowd. She says her parents left because most of the ethnic Nepalese in their village left. Monger was 4 at the time. Now she's raising 2 kids of her own here. She says she'd like to join the ethnic Nepalese leaving the camps for Western countries. She wants a better life for her kids. But her husband's parents are holding out. She says they want to go back to Bhutan. They were born there, and they want to die there. So does Bhutan People's Party co-founder Balaram Poggyal. But he believes Bhutan's political system has to change first. He ignores the fact that in many ways it already has. Bhutan has been a democracy for 3 years. At least 1/5 of Bhutan's citizens are ethnic Nepalese, as are 1/5 of Bhutan's members of parliament and several of its ministers. And Nepalese language media are again allowed. Still, Poggyal believes Bhutan remains a repressive state, where no one can criticize the government and where there is no press freedom.
Nobody can write against the government. That is the law.
Actually, no, it's not. Bhutan's media regularly criticize the government, but the issue of those in the camps does remain a sensitive one in Bhutan. Almost 1/3 of the refugees have already been resettled, most of them in the United States. Within 5 years, just a few thousand holdouts will remain. For them, Bhutan is still home, and they want to go back. Bhutan's leaders may yet open the door a crack for exiled citizens with no record of violence, but they've learned from this turbulent chapter to assert their right as hosts to set the rules from the start for future arrivals who want to move in. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead, Sanishar Camp, Eastern Nepal.